I'm your host, Kaylee, and this is Rebel Wellness. Welcome to Rebel Wellness, your new go-to podcast for redefining your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. In a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization just plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture and adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your new sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, my rebel soul? Today we are going to have a little Kales coaching moment covering some of my favorite foundational fat loss and just overall health habits for those of you who truly feel overwhelmed by like just the fat loss scene, health scene in general, whatever you are getting inundated with as far as dieting and everything in that zone goes. I felt like today it was a really good time to have a coaching moment because there's just a weird situation going on where I have noticed a major pitfall of all of this information overload that's available to us, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, everything, that it's making those of us who are not like well-educated in nutrition or fitness super freaking confused, right? You don't, you know, and I say that in a way where most of the time, like if you already know some basics of the subject, or like maybe you went to college and you had to take an anatomy class or you took a nutrition class or something like that. And so you know some of it. So like you can kind of dissect what people are telling you, like dietitians and nutritionists and health gurus all over Instagram don't faze you as much because you kind of know background of what they're talking about. You can kind of call their bluff. But most of us don't know any of that stuff, you know? And I have to chat about that for a sec because it's really important for you to feel like it's okay that you don't know those things. But at the same time, that's why I want to talk about this here today and give you my best tips that I go through with all of my coaching clients who need whole health coaching, because it really always comes down to these things. And so this is going to be a really helpful episode for you. And I'm really excited to kind of talk about these topics quickly. I'm not going to go as in-depth as I could for this one. If you would like me to go more in depth in a future episode, I absolutely can. But for today, I kind of wanted to hit you with some of the major pillars that I like all my clients to kind of think through every time they are assessing their health goals and kind of realigning themselves with a better, healthier body. And a lot of the times that means fat loss, but it's not exclusive to fat loss. Not everybody needs to lose fat. I think we are raised as young girls in a zone where like fat loss is a constant topic. You can be 80 pounds and think that you have to lose fat, and you can be 180 pounds and think that you have to lose fat. And everybody's different. That's a different topic for another time. I know season one, I had a few episodes that talk about that, like the scale episode especially. Check that one out if you have not. If you are new here, go back to that episode. It's great. We will link it in the show notes for you so it's a little easier to get there. But this conversation is for my girlies who are, you know, just straight up confused with what to do or follow. Everyone and their mom had success on this diet and you tried it and it just did not really work for you. Or you search around and all you hear is eat less, move more. And so you try to do that and your interpretation of that just comes up like, okay, I'm going to starve myself, barely eat any calories. I'm going to take up running and, or I'm going to do Orange Theory or both. And some weight loss happens, and then come month one or month two, at the end, you plateau, or you struggle to keep up with that kind of restriction in general, and then you give up altogether, maybe you gain some more fat. You know, that's a really standard situation that happens to a lot of us, because the easiest thing for, again, everyone with a background who doesn't really know a ton about, you know, anatomy, physiology, as well as nutrition, that's kind of like what you would interpret from eat less, move more, right? And that's what I've heard time and time again from hundreds of clients over the last decade. And so it's not as simple as just eat less, move more. I would rather you focus on foundational pillars that naturally relate to the big picture of your overall body composition, health and well-being, etc. But I also want to add that I'm making this episode for anyone who maybe has also been in a state of comfort, or maybe even a state of struggle, like on the opposite end, the last several years to maybe a decade or more, and you've somehow gained so much body fat, you don't know where to start. You feel hopeless. You kind of feel like, okay, maybe I'll just take Ozempic or something because that'll kickstart my fat loss and I'll feel better about myself, you know, and that's totally valid and okay. I know some people do that, but that's not necessarily going to last for you. And that's the biggest thing about some of these fast fat loss things. And I would really advise against them on their own, and or if it's just not in conjunction with really good foundational habit changes, because they, again, they're not going to last, because you will probably fall back into the comfort of the habits that you've built that got you to the body fat percentage that you are now, right? And so just being real with yourself and observing that, like, there's no shame to feel for that happening. I know that it can feel so shameful because we are in a society that just definitely fat shames people, especially females. And the thing that really frustrates me from all the years of coaching is that a lot of people don't realize that there is a spectrum of reasons that females put on excess body fat. And dominantly, my females that have put on the most, it's usually following a major trauma. Like, hands down, if we got to the root of when a lot of my female clients went from a healthy body fat percentage or lifestyle, et cetera, into above upwards of 40% body fat and more, it's typically for a trauma-based reason. There's something that happened to them, and trauma can even change your gut bacteria, change the flora in there, and cause you to not have a metabolic environment that is healthy for losing fat. And there's so many, like, bro science guys and just by the book science dudes out there, and even females, you know, there's a lot of females kind of drinking the Kool-Aid on it too, where they do just push the eat less, move more, hormones don't matter, that's a lie, you know, blah, 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 they say all that stuff. But in reality, they don't realize how much, especially females, because we are so, you know, or our feminine energy, rather, not just females, but our feminine energy puts us into a position where we are really connected to our bodies and souls through our experiences, struggles, stressors, etc. And so if you're somebody who went through something and you had inexplicable fat gain out of nowhere, like, that is not necessarily your fault. That is something that happened to you, and you weren't given the tools to manage it with your current lifestyle to avoid that rapid fat gain. I even know for myself in a different kind of area, I guess it really wasn't too different. It was another version of trauma, but I was working myself like 80 hour weeks or so, hustling, doing really well with the business, but not taking care of myself. I was going through an estrogen dominant state where I had drank more wine than usual. I had detoxed or began detoxing off of birth control, and I didn't realize that my body was getting thrust into this estrogen dominant state. And my cortisol with my stress with work and paired with my estrogen dominance was just like depositing fat, depositing fat, depositing fat. If you've been listening to my show for a while, you know a little bit about that story. But I didn't realize how much of it was not entirely my fault. I don't know if that's the right phrase to say, but we were never taught about that. And I would even talk to my doctors and my general practitioners before I started working with, like, functional medicine practitioners and stuff. And they would always be like, oh, I don't know, you're just overeating and you don't realize it and stuff like that. And I would be doing all the cardio. I'd be under eating, tracking my macros. Cause I mean, I'm a professional nutritionist. I know, like, what to do. And the eat less, move more wasn't working. It, like, straight up wasn't working. And I have data to show, cause people will be like, kills, you know, this or that. But technically, like, even if I put in my wine calories, like, I'd have like a glass of wine, that would still be in a quote unquote deficit for my body, especially with the activity and everything that I was doing. So I was like, what the heck is going on here? Right? Like, what is going on? It doesn't make sense. It's not working. The math isn't mathing. It turns out that like just my straight hormones that, you know, are cofactors for allowing your body to be in a state where it wants to lose fat were so messed up. And my body was so stressed and inflamed that it was like, no, like we're not losing fat. We're actually depositing fat. And so it was just a mess. And so whenever I get these people that like come at me with the, oh, you know, you were overeating and you didn't realize it, you know, you just needed to have a better energy equation, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, I think that you just really don't understand the intricacies, especially of the female body system, because it does way more weird things. I call it weird things, but more unique things, because it is so fertility oriented, because our inner state just moves cyclically with so many different hormones for so many different things. And it affects everything from our mood to our body, like symptoms and systems, because like, you know, around your cycle, you might get more diarrhea and cramps and all that stuff. Like guys just like exist and then they eat something weird and they might get that. You know what I mean? It's not like every month they deal with a whole organ doing a whole thing and causing the other organs and such to have all these other different things that are unique to that one specific week. You know what I mean? So anyways, all that to say, there's a lot of people out there who are going to tell you things like, oh, that's, you know, health guru BS. It's just eat less, move more. You know, ultimately it's just that energy equation, la, 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 la. Okay. Well, just ignore them, because there's a lot more that goes into it, especially when you get the intricacies of trauma, especially trauma in the brain and how it affects your body. And so that's just really important. I wanted to start this conversation with that, because I think you need to feel validated if you're somebody who is just constantly kind of gaslit for your health and your struggles with your fat loss. But the best thing that I can tell you is if you do follow these pillars I'm going to talk about today, they will help you realign with your health and get into your best health possible in the long term. It's not going to be a quick fix. I will tell you straight off the bat, it's not sexy, but it's not going to be fast, but it's always going to be worth it. You know, it's always going to be way more worth it than the outcome of not taking better care of yourself and starting to get these habits moving in your life. Okay. So as we kind of jump into this conversation, I want to make sure that you understand that, and that you come at these with a really good, hopeful, and empowered mind that you can take your health back and you can optimize your life. Optimize your life. That sounds like really like biohacky, and I don't love that. It just kind of like came out of my mouth. So I don't know what passive marketing has gotten to me there, but you can just access the best health that supports the life that you want for the long run. We'll say that. That sounds better. The other thing I will say as we start this chat is I recommend you have a notepad or you have your notes out on your phone and write down some things that stand out for you, and write down just as much that comes to mind for you as possible. And then you can go back and journal on it. I will definitely remind you at the end of this episode to like definitely take the time to journal, especially if you're very serious about taking care of yourself and your health. I think that that would be the best tip for you as you listen through this, or you can listen through it and listen to it again and take notes then. But I think this is a really good note specific episode, because this is about you. I want you to take these things and kind of absorb them, digest them, and figure out what uniquely to you is going to be your game plan following these pillars. Because I'm not going to tell you like you need to do this exact straight thing and blah, 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 because that's not going to be useful. You need to learn how to learn your body and get in tune and kind of see like your specific life situation, what could be better. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, so what are the pillars I'm talking about? So the pillars over the last decade that I have kind of deduced down, my old website from Coach by Kales, if you are a client listening and you knew my old website, it was all very fitness forward, because that's dominantly what I did in the beginning. I had four pillars. But now when I'm speaking about kind of overall health habits, I have actually found it to be more five pillars. So the main things are sleep, hydration, nutrition, movement, and stress management. So a lot of people could probably say that hydration should just go in nutrition, but I have it separately because I think that it's important enough of how it influences so much in our body. I mean, we're 80% water or more. It does more than just keep you filled out. So I put it as a pillar because of that. I want to say as well that these five areas of your life, they govern the majority of your health because they're quite literally what combines to be your health. But by default, your ability to burn fat comes from you doing the best you can in these areas, okay? So I'm not going to say these are the five pillars of fat loss. They kind of are naturally, but I don't want you to focus on that. A lot of the times, one of the first things that I like to tell my clients is to stop focusing so heavily on fat loss mentally. Try to focus the most on feeling the positive effects of like non-scale victories and just you improving your life in general. You're doing these things that we're going to talk about here in a sec are going to naturally help you stay more motivated. For some people, like especially if all of these pillars are just completely awry in your life, it's probably going to be a little bit of a struggle. But once you get into it, you're going to like look back at yourself and be like, damn, I'm so proud of myself that I actually like pushed through and prioritized these things as an act of self-love and for my future and my future family or whatever you might want to have or, you know, live for. And you're going to feel that like, okay, it sucks now. It's going to suck for the first year, maybe 2 years or so. But when you start to jive on these habits, it will be a game changer for you, trust me. Okay, so we're going to take each of those pillars and kind of simplify the baseline things that I think are important for you to consider when you are reflecting on your current life and how you can improve your own area that we talk about. And it doesn't need to be fancy supplements, fitness routines, strict diets, any of that stuff. I'm not going to tell you guys any of those things because it's not about that. Those are kind of like, we like to say if you're making a sandwich, all of these foundations are like the bread and the meat inside. Everything else, like supplements and very specific kind of extras, are like all the little accoutrement and stuff that go inside the sandwich with it to do whatever you want it to do. You know what I mean? But they're not essential. You don't really need it. You just need the bread and the meat in the middle to be a sandwich or whatever the primary interior of your sandwich is going to be. Maybe I should have picked not a sandwich, but hopefully you kind of understand what I mean by that. So the first pillar is sleep. We're not going to go super in depth in it, but what I would like you to know is episode 55 is a great resource about getting really in depth and optimizing your sleep. 10 out of 10 recommend you go to that episode, check it out after this. If you are somebody who struggles with sleep, we really want to see 7 to 8.5 hours of sleep a night for females. Women actually need to sleep more than men, or females need to sleep more than males. And it's just genetically a thing, physiologically rather. There's several good articles scientifically out there about it. I could probably actually link one if needed in the show notes or on the website futurely, if you would like to, if you care. But at the same time, it's just, again, that situation where it would be called more sensitive interiorly because of our like cyclical hormones and such. But it's not in a way where it's sensitive, like we're weak. So a lot of people kind of misinterpret that. It just means that like we could change, our internal environment can change at like the drop of a hat. Like if you've ever been suddenly super stressed in your cycle, if you're naturally cycling, and then your period all of a sudden either is late or super early or really heavy out of nowhere, you know, like literally just having a big stressful day can throw off your entire cycle weeks later. And that's just an example of like how sensitive we can be. And sleep ultimately is so essential for the female body. Our brains really need it. So if you're somebody who can't get that much sleep at night through your longer chunk of sleep time, naps can be very powerful for you. We really kind of want to think about 35 minutes to 45 minutes. Sleep scientists say that if you exceed 45 minutes, it's no longer really a nap. It actually can start to get you into deep sleep. And then that's when you wake up from your nap at like an hour and a half and you're like, where the hell am I? That's because you dropped into deep sleep and then you got pulled right out really fast. And that's not good. We don't want that. So you can actually get good restorative benefits from napping if you stay within that 35 to 45 minute range. And so you want to consider that if you are somebody who gets less than 7 hours of sleep. The whole sleep when you're dead thing is not good because it actually, you do die faster if you don't sleep enough and you will suffer a lot more metabolic disease, degenerative brain problems and things like that. But in the sense of your well-being, and if you're somebody who's listening for more of like fat loss tips, sleep is when your body is actually going into rest and digest. And that time period is actually the optimal time where your body is burning and utilizing fat and getting it out of your system. So that is essential that you get enough sleep and good deep sleep, because deep sleep is that restorative sleep. So you want to make sure that you're sleeping long enough and through the night in good quality. So that does mean you don't want to be taking things that alter your sleep too frequently as well. So cannabis can affect your sleep quality. Alcohol absolutely affects your sleep quality. Sugar too late, eating too late in general. All of those habits absolutely affect your sleep negatively. You can see it too if you are somebody who has like a sleep tracker. Like for example, I know that I get less REM sleep when I have cannabis. I have less deep sleep when I have alcohol. And I'm talking like even just one glass. So if you are somebody who's going to partake in alcohol, the better time to actually have alcohol is between the hours of noon and 4 p.m. And it gives your body time to process a lot of that alcohol out so that you can sleep fully. You will not get very much deep sleep if you have alcohol past 5 p.m., unfortunately. So that's a little bit of kind of my best advice for just looking at the general things that people tend to do wrong with sleep. So you really want to make sure that you prioritize it for those reasons. A really good note about sleep too is if you undersleep, it throws off your leptin and ghrelin, which are your hormone receptors that tell your brain that, okay, I'm hungry, okay, I'm full. Ghrelin is the one that says I'm hungry, and leptin says I'm full. And they go all crazy when you are underslept. And that's why you crave more carbs typically when you're underrested, because your brain loves carbs as energy. It is its fuel source. And when you are not giving it enough time to get a full rest, it's like, all right, well then give me more sugar. And basically it makes your ghrelin speak a lot louder all day long the next day, therefore encouraging you to overeat or pick choices of foods that are not great, which tends to be negative over time because that's where extra calories and things can go in, especially if you're trying to have fat loss. And it's just not great overall. I see it all the time with my clients that don't sleep very well. They tend to have a lot of blood sugar dysregulation stuff. It's also often my clients who sit up doom scrolling late at night. They often are the ones who struggle the most with sugar cravings the next day. And it's because of this lack of sleep, blue light on their face until midnight or later, all that stuff. Not good for you. So again, episode 55, if you really want to learn some of the top tips for making sleep optimized in your life. All right, so the next one is hydration. We're going to keep it kind of simple. A lot of people follow the generic gallon a day kind of thing. However, especially for my females, I actually usually like to have them follow the rule of for every kilogram you weigh, you have an ounce of water. So essentially, if you are 160 pounds, you would have 72 ounces of water. That would be an ideal place for you to be drinking baseline water. This is a better thing to follow because it's kind of arbitrary actually to have a gallon a day. And a gallon a day is quite a bit of water every day, especially if you are a smaller sized female. Ultimately, I usually just tell my clients, I'd like you to be drinking 75 to 90 ounces of water a day. That's a really good place to be. You really don't have to exceed that, especially because a lot of our water here, especially in the US, doesn't have minerals in it. And that can actually dehydrate you more because our water historically has always naturally had, like if you think natural spring water and such, it always has minerals in it. And because we have such a big population and we've had to provide drinking water to more people than naturally available, because there's not just rivers and streams all around us, every neighborhood, because we've built neighborhoods in places that don't have water even, we have just purified like tap water to the extent where we've removed a ton of those minerals. And sometimes we've replaced them with not better things like chlorine and such. And so you do want to either try to prioritize mineralizing your purified water, because please don't drink tap water. Have a reverse osmosis machine. Check out the microplastics episode if you want to learn more about that. But it is really important that you have minerals. So I do usually have my clients drink like 1 to 2 electrolytes a day, like those noon tablets or a powder or so. And that would be the best thing for you to make sure you're staying hydrated as you drink more water, because your body is going to flush. You know, that is why you pee so often the first week when you're drinking ample amount of water, because your kidneys are getting used to the new water balance. Because when you're chronically dehydrated, which is most of us these days, our body is used to a certain hydration load of water in our body. Then once we're starting to give it ample water, it freaks out and it's like, okay, I don't know what to do. So it just flushes a ton of water. And so you're peeing, peeing, peeing. Then maybe week 2 or week 3 hits and you're peeing a lot less frequently because your body has discovered a new balance of water balance in your body. So that's pretty much why that happens. And it's not forever, but it is good because it's going to help your body detox, get all those organs amply hydrated. You know, you're going to be pooping better because you can create better mucus. Even though it's not sexy to say, but it has a lot to do with it, especially with your digestion and your digestive enzymes as well. You know, it's when we're chronically dehydrated, those go awry and then it messes everything up. So if you're somebody who struggles with the digestion stuff, you could just be lacking in enough hydration. So that's why it's a pillar and I put it in there. So 1 ounce for every kilogram you weigh, which is 2.2 kilograms per pound, if you don't know it. So you can take your weight and divide it by 2.2 and you can find out kind of like generally how much water you should be drinking a day. All right, for nutrition, if we're keeping this one kind of simple as well, the top areas I always want my clients to prioritize in their daily nutrition is a good quality protein, an ample fiber source or an ample amount of fiber, and natural fats, good healthy natural fats, because we want those omega-3s and those omega-6s. Mostly omega-3s because the standard American diet is really heavy in omega-6s already. And if they're imbalanced, we see a lot of inflammation. That's why you're probably hearing a lot of stuff about canola oil and all that, that the big debate online about seed oils. We're not going to talk about that today, but we want to see more omega-3s, and those come from natural fats. Like fatty fish, certain nuts, seeds, etc. So to be more specific though, we want roughly 25 to 40 grams of complete proteins each meal. So complete proteins doesn't mean plant-based. Unfortunately, you need to have a complete plant-based combination if you want that to count for your amino acid needs every day, because there's essential amino acids that you cannot get in your body. You have to consume it. And animal sources are complete proteins naturally. Every single thing already is a complete protein. So if you're somebody who partakes in animal proteins, that's easy for you. If you are somebody who eats more plant-based, you're gonna have to be more intentional about your protein sources so that you're getting enough of the complete amino acid profiles every day, especially if you're somebody who wants to weight lift and build lean muscle and things like that, because it's really hard to build lean muscle, especially as a female, from incomplete protein. So that's something to be aware of. We want 25 to 30 grams of fiber daily. So your whole day, we want to see end up with around 25 to 30 grams. And that comes mainly from fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, and some grains, not all grains. And so we do want you to have some of that soluble and insoluble fiber daily so that you're getting a really healthy gut flora and helping things move along and again, detox healthfully. We also want to see at least 50 grams a day of healthy, natural, minimally processed fats. So again, we don't really want to see anything that's like expeller pressed or pressed from a plant or seed. That's where like canola oil, grapeseed oil, expeller pressed coconut and avocado oils, those are highly processed oils that are not taken from a natural state. They need to be smashed and heated and cooled and cleaned and bleached literally and things like that to become edible and oil-like. And that's just not easy for the body to recognize when you consume it, and or it also can just cause inflammation if you're somebody who eats an omega-6 high, a highly omega-6 rich diet, which is very common nowadays because not a lot of people eat like cold water fatty fish or take omega-3 supplements or certain nuts and other sources of omega-3s. And so there are eggs, you know, there's actually a lot of things naturally. But if you're not eating a lot of those, then you probably are a little too high on the omega-6 zone. So you do want to balance that with more omega-3s. You can utilize a supplement like a fish oil or something, but you do have to kind of also try to focus on getting it from real food sources. That is best. But again, if you want to focus on a little bit more fiber sources, you want to get some good fruits, veggies, and even tubers. So like potatoes, sweet potatoes, yams, yada, yada. Those are great places for you to get natural fiber. And again, some grains do have good fiber for you as well, as long as it's not from crops that are very heavily pesticide ridden with like Roundup and such. We do want to look more for non-GMO organic when we're going for grains, because unfortunately, since they are such big crops, they do spray a lot of stuff on them because they are trying to reduce as much waste as possible. But we do have a lot of evidence now that points towards the really negative effects of consuming too many grains that have glyphosate on them, aka Roundup, and a multitude of other things as well, because a lot of times they process a lot of grains heavily and then put them back or turn them into pastas or whatever the heck they do with them, and they'll try to fortify them or enrich them with remineralization, like they put minerals and vitamins back into it to try to help their nutrition profile. But those versions can often be problematic for our body, and or our body just doesn't even absorb them because the form of them isn't bioavailable, meaning absorbable. And so we really want to stay away from as many processed things as possible. That's just standard advice that is always best, and try to focus the most on natural, like as close to how it came originally as possible is the best way for your body to recognize what it is and utilize it properly. So you want to think about it that way. Just because it is turned into something that could be healthier, like chickpea pasta, for example, doesn't mean that your body actually utilizes like the protein in the chickpeas after it's been heavily processed that badly. So actually, a lot of my clients do not do well with like bands of pasta and such. And I used to be a big fan of it until I realized that even I don't do very well with these heavily processed chickpea things turned into like pastas and such. So if you do want chickpea protein, eat the real whole non-adulterated chickpeas, and that'll probably be your best bet, or blend them yourself into hummus and things like that. But you're always going to have an easier time digesting and absorbing nutrients from a complete protein source, typically from animal sources. A lot of people ask me, like, can I have Metamucil or something like that for artificial fiber supplements to kind of get it into your system? I would say I would not recommend things like Metamucil and anything in those zones, because they add a lot of different fillers and such that are not great for everybody's body and gut. They even add like food dyes into it, which isn't great. So there's actually a brand that I would recommend that's natural called Fluorosophy. You can check it out. I have a lot of these different things I'm talking about linked in my Amazon recommendations on coachkales.com if you want to go see and update what you have in your pantry. I put all of kind of my top recommendations on there because I get asked about it all the time. So go check it out there and see if anything is necessary for you to replace in your home. Okay, so we're going to move into movement. So it's first to remember what movement does for you. A lot of times people just think movement is calorie burning and it sounds miserable to them. They don't want to be sore. It's so much effort. But let's remember what it does for you. So I like to separate it into three major categories of types, and all of them do best to be in your weekly routine, not one only or something like that. It's actually going to be the best for you, especially if you want to have the healthiest, most mobile life and longevity. You want to see cardio, strength, and passive activity, or what's called LISS, which is low intensity steady state. So first I'll just say with that one, passive activity is that you might be hearing a lot of people talk about it as steps. So sometimes with my clients, I also follow the general rule of steps per day as a good way to help you gauge your passive activity throughout the day. So a lot of us forget that everyday human bodies are supposed to move. We're supposed to have pretty constant passive activity. We're supposed to be standing pretty often when we're awake. And as time has gone on, we've become more desk-ridden, which means chair-ridden. And that's why a lot of people say sitting is the new cigarettes. Like, it kills more people than cigarettes do. And it's unfortunately true, because our body is not getting that good, healthy circulation that is necessary for detoxing, helping you have bowel movements, which is the same thing as detoxing, helping your heart stay healthy and be challenged. You know, that's why people get heart attacks more easily if they're very sedentary, because their body is not really challenged with pumping blood around. And then the moment they have a event where they either are moving too much and their heart rate has to increase, their heart doesn't have the capacity, or it's blocked by plaque from their lifestyle of how they eat, you know, all these different things come to it. And so we really want to remember that passive activity is so important, and you can try to increase it or observe your own by looking at, if you're wearing a fitness tracker, like an Apple Watch or something, how many steps you do a day. And that usually gives you a good idea of how passively active are you, because a lot of people should be doing roughly 6,000 to 10,000 steps a day, different for every person, you know, and whatever other activity you do alongside it. But one does not simply get healthy by only walking 30 minutes a day when their entire workday has kept them stuck in a chair all day. Like, that unfortunately is not exercise, and it is just adding to your passive activity day. So I always want to like talk about that with people, because a lot of people think, well, I went on a walk. I've been going on a walk once a day. I'm like, was that the only like walking you've done? Like, were you mostly at your desk and then kind of in the kitchen and then on the couch and then, you know, this or that? And then they were like, oh, yeah, I guess I really didn't move that much today. It's like, yeah, unfortunately, you are still overeating for the lack of movement and muscle you have, which brings me into strength. Why strength is so important. Having more lean muscle makes you burn more calories at rest. So it is a strategic thing you can add to your body to not have to move as much, which is kind of funny to think about. But in reality, I actually like to think of it as I like to have more muscle so I can eat more, because I love food and I like to strength train, but I also like to eat. So having more lean muscle allows me to sporadically eat a burger and fries or something more indulgent on the weekend, and it do absolutely nothing to me, not gaining any weight. I've gone all the way to Italy, all the way to Thailand, and not gained any fat, because I simply have more lean muscle naturally, and it hangs around burning extra calories for me, even when I'm not specifically weightlifting. And I've had so many clients reap those benefits on their own as well. I had one client that sticks out. I remember we worked together for about a year and a half, and then she went and did kind of a whole month in New York where she didn't have access to a gym, and she did some home workouts with bands and things, and just kind of, she didn't really like follow too hardcore of eating. She followed our foundational stuff, like I told you about the nutrition, and she came back from that trip and she hadn't gained anything. And she was so concerned about it, because she was like, I didn't get to weightlift. You know, I ate a lot more like fun New York food. And she was just so like blown that she had not gained anything during that entire time. And that's the beauty of having lean muscle. So I have a lot of clients who just don't prioritize adding muscle. And it's really a shame, because you can gain so much by having more lean muscle on your body, especially when it comes to rebalancing your hormones. So if you're somebody who struggles with what's called estrogen dominance, or you just have body fat patterning that is excessive in your lower body, in your belly, in the backs of your arms, those are signs that you have a hormone imbalance. And so you can really improve your hormone detoxification and rebalancing through building lean muscle. All of the experts with PhDs and everything like that above me in that zone tout strength training as one of the single-handed best things that females can do for themselves. So don't sleep on strength training, okay? And it doesn't have to be fancy. You can just try to master some of the compound lifts, like deadlifts, squats, pull-ups, and push-ups, or just strength back movements, you know, because pull-ups are actually very hard for females genetically. And so you can focus on trying to do those every day that you make it into the gym. Maybe you only make it into the gym twice, and you do those movements, 3 sets of 12 or 4 sets of 12 of each of just those four, and you will be amazed at how much that can really change your body for the better. You know, keep challenging yourself, keep adding the weight every week and really challenge yourself. And you'll be like really impressed by just doing those compound lifts can really change the game for you. And they're not that confusing, not that fancy. Yes, you're going to be sore, but it gets easier. Okay. And the more you hydrate and the better you sleep, the less sore you will be and having ample protein, et cetera. Cardio is the last part of that that I really want to remind you of. I'm not the biggest fan of things like running and such, especially because most females actually shouldn't be running for a hobby, especially if you're somebody who has a more aggressive curve with your hips, because our hips are actually more of a bowl than straight up and down like male's pelvis. So we actually get a lot of like femur aggressive action when you are doing a repetitive running motion and jamming when you land your foot on the pavement. If you've ever been somebody who's felt like hip pain when you ran, that's why. We're just really too curvy, really, to be running like that, especially on pavement. So I never really have my clients, if I can help it, run. And most of them are okay with that because they do not feel good in their hip area, especially when they are running. So that's something that I would like you to consider, is that maybe you are also not built for running and that's okay. But there's a lot of great things you can do, such as cycling, more like vinyasa style yoga, like a faster paced yoga that's heated, that gets your heart rate up. Hiking in nature is single-handedly one of the best things because it also has a lot of like brain health and skin health benefits from being out in nature. Swimming is another great one. You know, cardio is really important for keeping your health, your heart health optimal, and really helping your body detoxify and actually utilize sugar in your blood. So we kind of forget that even things just as simple as walking can really help us manage our blood sugar better. And I do always recommend the best thing you can do for managing blood sugar spikes is taking a 15-20 minute walk after each meal, if you can, or at least after your biggest meal of the day. So dinner is a great time to do that. That's like a lot of different countries have like cultural habits of walking after big meals, and they obviously know something because it is really important to do that, and it can be just such an easy game changer. So I definitely would recommend you throwing in an evening walk if you have big dinners, or a good late morning or afternoon walk if you have a big breakfast or lunch. All right, we're going to wrap it up into the final one that is possibly, arguably, one of the most important ones as well. Well, honestly, all of these are very important. That's why they're pillars. But stress management. This is in here because, if we're being honest, much of the metabolic struggles females face modernly, like I was talking about in the beginning of this episode, they are amplified because we are so goddamn stressed, to the extent that many of us actually have been like untrained to believe that their low to moderate stress is actually not stress at all. So like, I'll say that again, you might not even have the right understanding of where your stress is at because you've been trained by society and a multitude of other things that you are actually not stressed because you can do more. And if you totally feel me on this, it's like, it's a whole thing. We're like recovering workaholics over here. I have a joke with like a lot of my clients that align with me in the fact that we think juggling 1,000 things is actually like not too bad because we've juggled 2,000 before, you know? So like it's kind of like juggling. So let's say like a metaphor using that kind of topic. So when we're younger, we learn how to juggle 3 balls and we can kind of barely begin to handle them. But, you know, several stressful things at once, we can start to learn how to do it. You know, maybe it's packing your lunch, getting dressed for school, and then making sure you brought your homework, you know, just all these little things. You remember those stressors, how they were stressed at the time. And then as we get older, like life, college, work, motherhood, and everything in between trains us to be able to juggle a lot more balls. Suddenly we're juggling like 20 balls without question and chronically for like years, and it becomes normal for us. And if it's, let's say like the normal female stress capacity as an adult is like 8 balls and not constantly, like putting some down every once in a while. So for those of us who are juggling like 20 to 30 balls, we feel like 15 isn't even that bad because we've done more, right? And we've learned that we can do more. But is that more even better? And is 15 even still good? You know, like, is that still okay? But our brains are now trained that like, that's lazy. 15 is lazy because you have done 30 balls before, you know, and this is super toxic. And this is where we see that like, we can't manage our stress well because we think that it's lazy to take time for yourself and to do nothing and, you know, and or to just do less. And this is really tough, you know, and maybe if you don't resonate with that, that's totally okay. There might be other ways that you are stressed in your life that might need a little reflection and management as well. But I do want to bring this topic up because I think so many of us, especially females, I've seen a lot of comedians do little skits on this, that we do so much and we're expected to, you know, do all the things and also look good and be in our best health and be sexy still and also raise families and have a full-time job and do it all and have it all, you know? And we might come from mothers who raised us around the, like, that's not that bad, or you don't even know what stress really is, or when I was your age, I did so much more than you are doing right now. You can do better, you know? And if any of that has happened to you, you might actually not know what is stress for your body. Your brain now is wired to think that like 15 balls is actually lazy, when in reality, your body's like, hey, I really just want to have 8 balls. Like, I just am maxed out at 8 balls. But like, you can't hear that until it's too late. So your body is going to be giving you symptoms and different things, and it's all going to be showing up, and you're going to have bad periods, or you're going to be having no periods at all, or you're going to have PCOS, or you're going to have, you know, all these different insulin resistant things, hormone imbalance things, just crazy mood swings, depression, anxiety, you know, all of those are symptoms that come from us being overly stressed. Stress can do insane things to the body. The most rarest diseases have come from like high stress chronically, and they just usually can't say like, I don't know what it is, you know, and it's unfortunately mismanaged chronic stress. And so that's why it's a pillar in here, guys, because you really have to take your stress seriously. And you might want to start asking yourself those questions of like, do I actually know what my stress threshold is? Like, is your body whispering to you through symptoms of things that, hey, I'm overstressed and this has been going on for too long? Maybe it's starting to scream at you. You know, maybe you're starting to have like actual PCOS symptoms, or, and I'm talking about PCOS because they actually do know now that dominantly PCOS is being caused from chronic stress. And so I'm not going to get into that right now, but it is really important to understand that diseases are happening to us at younger and younger ages because we are in society so overwhelmed and overstressed by just so many different things. So with that said, I really want you to be brutally honest with yourself and simultaneously start to practice more restful habits and things into your life that can help you be okay with juggling one less ball and then one less more and more and more and more until you reach that state that aligns with your health. Because you see, many of us have been misled to believe that health comes last, or at least not first, because that's selfish and not okay for you to be putting yourself first. And arguably, it's why so many of us are sicker than ever, struggling with mental health and metabolic diseases. You know, we've hardly seen and researched as many of the diseases we've seen nowadays, modernly. And it's, you know, we can't keep up with this stress. We can't keep up with how much we stress and how we kind of downplay stress, over romanticize it, you know? And I just really want to close out this episode encouraging you to take a moment to really truly dissect your stress levels and think about your favorite ways to potentially manage it. What can you do less of? What would serve you the best to do more of? You know, breathing, yoga, more nourishing meals, less screen time, less news, more phone calls with loved ones, more walks in the sunshine and nature, skin to skin contact with your partner, even if it's just cuddling, you know? These are all like proven ways to increase your oxytocin and dopamine, and they are like nearly free. Most of those, like, especially because there's free yoga online. If you were thinking to yourself, well, yoga's not free. Yes, it is. It's on YouTube. You can follow it. And there's guided meditations. You know, there's so many things free at your service to go use to help yourself manage your stress better. And you have the power in your own hands to reduce your stress. And it's literally so worth your time. Okay? Trust me on that. It's so worth your time. So just to remind you to wrap it back up all together, I want you to think of sticking to the basics. Observe your current sleep, hydration, nutrition, movement, stress management, and see what you can improve on and how you can just optimize those things the most on your health journey. That's all it takes, guys. It's super simple. It's so key. It's going to be the best thing you can do for your life keep it simple. They say, what do they say? Keep it simple, stupid. So take a second to journal it all out and pick a few simple like habits that you can add or change that will support those areas that we talked about, including some of the tips that I gave you there. And trust me, so many of my clients have drastically improved their health and their outlook on their health for like longevity just through simplifying it and focusing in on these pillars. So I hope that you will experience that too. And I really, really, truly hope that you liked this episode today, that it encouraged you to look at your health a little differently and a little less confused. All right, Rebel, that's it for today's episode. Share this episode to your Instagram story or send it to your bestie who you think needs to hear it today. And as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you next week on another episode of Rebel Walks. Hey Rebel, I just want to say a huge thank you for tuning in and sharing this space with us. Before we sign off, I've got some exciting ways for you to stay connected and to take your wellness journey even further with me. First up, if you haven't already, make sure to swing by CoachKales.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's your go-to source for the latest episodes, exclusive content, and a whole lot more wellness goodness delivered straight to your inbox. Check out the show notes for those high-quality tips on nutrition, fitness, and just overall well-being. Follow us on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast and my flagship page at Kaylee Loren. We're all about building a community where we can share, inspire, and grow together. So I would love to see you there. Now, if you're looking to reset and realign after a vacation, a hectic work season, or just because you feel like it's time for a healthful cleanse, I've got something super special for you and it's 100% free. Head over to stan.store/kales and download my free realignment detox guide. You can also find it at coachkale.com in the freebies section. I'm sharing my unique holistic approach to help you cut back inflammation, improve your skin, and even shed some excess weight with this guide. So trust me, you're gonna love it. Go download it for free now. But last but not certainly least, if you've got a burning health question you'd like answered on the show, or if you're curious about my one-on-one remote coaching or group courses, don't hesitate to visit my website and reach out to me there, or hello@kayleeloren.com is my best email for contacting me. I am here to support you on your journey to wellness, so do not feel afraid to reach out. All right, Rebel, catch you on the next episode.